All right, let's talk cravings. You know, those gotta have it now urges for like that extra slice of cake or a big bag of salty chips. Today, we're taking a deep dive into something really interesting, GLP-1 medications and how they can be like a total game changer when it comes to getting those cravings under control.
What's really wild here is we're not just talking about like some new diet fad.
Yeah.
With GLP-1 medications, we're actually using your body's own systems. You know, it's like your body already produces a hormone that helps regulate your appetite and blood sugar. And what the GLP-1 medications do is they kind of mimic that natural hormone in a way that can be really, really effective.
Okay, so we're basically like giving our bodies a boost, right, in the craving control department. I'm
Right.
into it. So how exactly does that work?
So it all comes down to a few things. First, GLP-1 medications, what they do is they slow down how fast your stomach empties. So basically, your stomach empties more slowly after you eat, so you're feeling fuller, more satisfied for longer.
So no more of those like sudden energy crashes that make you want to grab a sugary pick-me-up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know what's really cool? GLP-1 medications, they don't just work on like a physical level. They actually change how your brain responds to food. And that's a big deal when it comes to cravings.
Okay, now we're getting to the really good stuff. Let's break that down a bit. So we've all heard about the dopamine connection with cravings,
Okay.
right?
Dopamine is what we call the feel-good chemical because it's released in our brains when we experience something we like. And well, for a lot of us, that includes those, you know, sugary, fatty foods we crave. Over time, our brains start to link those foods with that dopamine rush, and we crave that feeling, which makes it a cycle that's super hard to break.
It's like our brains get wired to look for those dopamine hits, which makes it harder to resist those treats, those tempting treats. But you're saying that GLP-1 medications can actually change that?
Yeah. And this is where GLP-1 medications are. I mean, they're revolutionary. They work on the brain to make those foods you used to crave less enticing. You know, it's not like you'll never want to eat those foods again or anything, but that like pull, that I need it now feeling, it really can like diminish significantly.
It's like we're actually like rewiring our cravings away. That's wild. But I'm guessing it's not just like taking the medication and poof, craving's gone, right? What else can we do to, I don't know, get the most out of this?
You're right. It's definitely not magic.
Yeah.
While GLP-1 medications can be really effective, they work best with like some mindful strategies too. It's like a two-pronged approach.
Okay, let's talk about those strategies. Give us the inside scoop. What can people actually do to manage cravings, especially when they're first starting GLP-1 medications?
Well, one of the best things you can do is to figure out what your triggers are. You know, like what situations, emotions, even times of day are you most likely to want to give in to those urges, those gotta have it urges.
So, like, if I know that I always crave something sweet after dinner, I can, be ready for it and have a plan.
Exactly. And, you know, something as simple as staying hydrated can make a huge difference. Seriously, you'd be surprised how often we think we're hungry, but we're really just thirsty. So we know snacking when our bodies really just need some water.
That's a really good point. I've totally done that for sure. What else can we do to stay ahead of those cravings?
Planning your meals is huge. If you have a plan for what you're going to eat, you're less likely to like make impulsive choices in the moment.
So it's like, having that game plan so you're not caught off guard when those cravings hit.
Exactly. And when you are planning your meals, try to make sure that you're getting enough protein and fiber because those will keep you feeling full, which is key to preventing energy dips that lead to cravings.
Okay, so we're talking lean protein, whole grains, fruits, vegetables, all the good stuff. But what about when like a craving hits, even when we are doing all that? What can we do in those moments?
Remember we talked about how cravings are usually pretty short. Like they can feel super intense in the moment, but they usually only last 10, maybe 20 minutes tops. So one of the simplest but most effective things you can do is just distract yourself. Seriously. Go for a walk, call a friend, read, do a puzzle, something like that. You might find that the urge is just like gone completely.
That's such a good tip. It's so simple. What about those times when the craving is just like too strong and you just can't ignore it? Any strategies for those situations?
For sure. Like instead of thinking about it like all or nothing, you know, where you either give in completely or deprive yourself, try finding healthier substitutes for those go-to craving foods. So like if you're craving something sweet, you could grab a piece of fruit instead of, I don't know, a candy bar. If you're wanting something salty, maybe some air-popped popcorn or a handful of nuts instead of chips.
So it's about making like smarter choices that are still satisfying. What about mindful eating? I've heard that can be helpful for cravings. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, totally. Mindful eating is all about like bringing this sense of awareness to when you're eating, slowing down, savoring each bite and paying attention to the flavors and textures of your food. Like the opposite of eating mindlessly, when you're not even really paying attention to what you're eating, you know?
So instead of like scarfing down my food without even tasting it, mindful eating is about, I don't know, slowing down, being present. How does that help with cravings?
Well, when you eat mindfully, you start to reconnect with your body's cues, like hunger and fullness. You start to notice when you're actually physically hungry versus when you're just eating because of your emotions. And that's really important because then you can start to like break those patterns of, reaching for food when you're not actually hungry.
Yeah, it's like you're retraining your brain to be like, okay, am I actually hungry or is this like stress or boredom making me want to eat?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that brings us to another important point, which is that GLP-1 medications, they're great. They're really effective at like dealing with the physical stuff, the hunger, the cravings, but they might not solve everything if you're struggling with emotional eating.
Right. It makes sense. Like the medication can help with those initial urges, but we might need some other tools to, I don't know, really deal with the root causes of those emotional eating patterns.
Totally. And that's where therapies like, CBT or MBSR, those can be really helpful. Those can give you like healthier ways to deal with stress, anxiety, boredom, all those things. So you're not turning to food all the time.
Yeah, it's like building up like a whole toolbox of ways to deal with those emotions in a healthy way. So, okay, to recap, we've got the GLP-1s targeting the physical side of things, and then these therapies can help with the emotional and behavioral side. But before we move on, I have to ask, like, how can we tell the difference between those really intense cravings and like true physical hunger? Because sometimes it feels like my stomach is sending like mixed signals.
Oh, that's a great question. And it's super common too. Here's a trick. It's actually really simple, but it works. When you feel that craving hit, set a timer for 10 minutes and just try to distract yourself. Do something else for those 10 minutes. And then if after 10 minutes you're still hungry, then, your body probably needs some food. But if the urge is like gone or even just less intense, it was probably just a craving and you were able to ride it out.
Okay, I love that. It's so easy. I can already tell that's going to be helpful, in those moments where you're like, should I eat this or not? So we've talked about like the science behind GLP-1 medications, all those strategies for managing cravings, even a little bit about the future of this technology. But I want to go back to something you said earlier about the, I don't know, the bigger picture implications of GLP-1s. You said this could be bigger than just weight loss, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's so cool about this whole area of research. We're like just starting to understand what these medications can do. I mean, right now they're mainly used for weight loss and type 2 diabetes, but the potential is huge. Like, imagine a future where we can use these medications to, I don't know, help people break those unhealthy patterns that lead to, heart disease or certain types of cancer.
That would be amazing. We're talking about preventing some of the biggest health problems out there. What else are researchers looking into with this?
One thing that people are really interested in is using GLP-1 medications for like food addiction. We talk about addiction a lot with, drugs and alcohol, but food addiction is real and it can be really serious.
And it can be so hard to overcome, those cravings to make lasting changes.
For sure. And okay, get this. Early research is showing that GLP-1 medications, they might be able to like change the reward pathways in our brains, which could help people break free from food addiction, like literally rewiring your brain to crave healthier things.
Wow, that's incredible. To think that we might be able to like rewire those cravings, those addictions, it's really like a whole new frontier, isn't it? But obviously, this is still early days, right? We still need more research to really understand how this works and how we can use it safely and effectively.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's still early, but the research is really promising so far. And one of the things I'm most excited about is the potential for GLP-1 medications to help people like break free from that cycle of shame and guilt that often comes with food addiction. Because it's not just about the physical cravings, right? It's about the emotional and psychological toll it takes as well.
Absolutely. Food addiction can be so isolating. People might not even realize they're struggling with it, or they might feel like it's their fault, like they should be able to just stop, but it's not that simple.
Exactly. It's not a matter of willpower. And that's why I think this research is so important, because it's showing us that there are like physiological reasons why some people struggle with food addiction, and that there might be ways to actually address those underlying causes.
It's like we're finally starting to understand the science behind this complex issue, and that's the first step to finding real solutions. So, For our listeners who are hearing this and thinking, this sounds like me, what would you say to them?
I would say, first of all, you're not alone. Food addiction is a real thing, and it's not your fault. There's no shame in seeking help, whether it's from a doctor, a therapist, or even just talking to a trusted friend or family member. Mm. And, you know, stay tuned, because the research in this area is moving so quickly. There's a lot of hope on the horizon.
I love that. There's always hope. Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of GLP-1 medications and, you know, all the different ways we can manage cravings and even tackle food addiction, what's the one thing you want our listeners to remember?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway here is that you have the power to change your relationship with food. Whether you're struggling with cravings, emotional eating, or food addiction, you don't have to do it alone. There are resources out there. There are treatments that can help. There's so much hope for the future.
Love that. You have the power. This has been so insightful. Thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing all of this with us.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in to this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time. That's amazing. To think we could, like, rewire those cravings as addictions, it's really like a whole new frontier, isn't it? But obviously, this is still early days, right? We need more research to, you know, really understand how this works and how we can use it safely.
Definitely. It's still early, but the research is really promising so far. And, you know, one of the things I'm most excited about is the potential for GLP-1 medications to help people, like, break free from that cycle of shame and guilt that often comes with food addiction.
Yeah.
Because it's not just about the physical cravings, right? It's about the emotional and psychological toll it takes, too.
Absolutely. Food addiction can be so isolating. People might not even realize they're struggling with it, or they might feel like it's their fault, you know, like I should be able to just stop. But it's not that simple.
Exactly. It's not a matter of willpower.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this research is so important, you know, because it's showing us that there are, like, physiological reasons why some people struggle with this, and that there might be ways to actually, like, address those underlying causes.
It's like we're finally starting to understand the science behind this, and that's, like, the first step to finding real solutions. So for our listeners who are hearing this and thinking, this sounds like me, what would you say to them?
I would say, first of all, you're not alone. Food addiction is real. It's not your fault. There's no shame in getting help, whether that's from a doctor, a therapist, or even just talking to a friend or family member. And, you know, stay tuned, because the research in this area is moving so fast. There's a lot of hope.
I love that. There's always hope. Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of GLP-1 medications and, you know, all the different ways we can manage cravings and even tackle food addiction, what's the one thing you want our listeners to remember?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway here is that you have the power to change your relationship with food. Whether you're struggling with cravings, emotional eating, or food addiction, you don't have to do it alone. There are resources out there, there are treatments that can help, and there's so much hope for the future.
I love that. You have the power. This has been so insightful. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all of this with us.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in to this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.